Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. The first gray light of dawn was broadening behind us as we sped down Highway 212 from Minneapolis-St. Paul towards Granite Falls, Minnesota. I was driving my friend's mother's car. He was sitting beside me, reading to me to keep me awake as we hurtled toward our horrible destination. At 11 o'clock the night before, my father, age 58, had died suddenly of a heart attack at our home in Granite Falls. He had left behind not only myself at age 21 and my older brother in the Air Force, age 23, but also a 17-year-old brother and my two little sisters, ages 11 and 13. And of course, he left behind my mother, age 47, now a widow. My friend, soon to be a seminary student, read quietly to me from the passenger seat of the car as the light of dawn grew stronger. Dawn on a day for which I didn't think the sun should rise at all. He read some poetry, and then he read from the 8th chapter of Romans, words we just heard. All things work together for good for those who love God. We're called according to God's purpose. If God is for us, who is against us? In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As he read and I drove, the words barely even entered my shocked and numbed consciousness. But nevertheless, after my friend pulled away from the family home to drive into that fully risen sun now back to St. Paul, return his mother's car, I read the same words to my mother and my Aunt Tess, my father's sister. I didn't know what else to do. Then we retreated to beds and couches as we attempted a few hours of fitful sleep and awaited the awakening of my sisters to the worst news of their lives. I know you weren't in the car with me that morning. 54 years ago, this coming Wednesday, August 2nd, but I truly believe you have made the same trip. Each one of us gathered here has made a journey of grief and loss of some kind. We have advanced into the teeth and hurt and pain of some sort. Even if you're only 6 or 7 years old, you already know something about how hurtful life can be. Things can work out very badly for us human beings. We can be separated, even driven apart from those we love and those who love us. The one who wrote these words that we now call Romans knew the power of death and suffering to separate. We call him St. Paul today. And he had taken that trip of grief many times, as those in his band of followers of the way, as they called it, had been killed or hurt because they preached Jesus as the Messiah. And Paul himself had a debilitating and permanent condition he called his thorn in the flesh. Maybe you've heard of that. We don't know what it is. But even without that, his wounds from being beaten countless times for the sake of the gospel, must have continually caused him pain as he languished in damp jail cells, chained to a Roman soldier under arrest, most likely the place from which he wrote these words. Thanks be to God. This is not the whole story. There is joy and there's hope to be found. And today we can celebrate the gift this Apostle Paul has given to the human race, to you and me. It's a gift of immeasurable hope, unimaginable peace and love, and even joy through Romans 8. These words, this faith, this vision of what God has in mind for those whom he's called, and all of us are called according to God's purposes. The man we now call a saint, who wrote this letter to the Romans, knew just what we needed to face this oh so difficult life we have at times. And in Romans 8, Paul provides soothing balm. That's one of the things he provides for our wounds. He writes that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. How reassuring to know. We don't even have to know how to pray to cope when we face life's toughest times. We don't have to know the answers. We don't even have to know the questions. God is so close to us, within and around us, that God the Holy Spirit even prays for us, with us. The Spirit must have done that for me that night, all those years ago, when my father died. I'm sure the Spirit has done that for you as well. Not only that, Paul reminds you and me today, there is nothing God cannot turn into something good when we entrust our lives to God, when we seek to love God with our hearts. And all we need to do to get a clear idea of what this means is to remember Jesus, just like this adorable little girl did this morning. What happened to him? They killed him. Jesus, who deserved nothing but love and praise, was cruelly, falsely accused and put to death by crucifixion. But God had other plans. God made Jesus' death, the most horrible thing to ever happen, into the best thing that ever happened. And here we are today. God raised Jesus from the dead, gave him the crown of glory, made faith in Jesus the way we can all get through death to eternal life, starting today and tomorrow and forever. I don't know if you're into emojis, but I like that one with the wow. I'm going to put that in right here. Wow. I call that, as Paul said, all things working together for good for those who love the Lord. That's Jesus. Now, these days, we're often fond of saying, everything happens for a reason. I bet some of you have said that. Or how about, there must be a reason for that when something bad happens. Maybe you've been told that. I know I have. But we believers in Christ don't really need to say that there must be a reason for that. We have something else to say. We can confidently claim there must be a resurrection for that. It's the power of God's love working, God's purpose out in our lives that changes everything, brings forgiveness out of guilt, hope out of despair, love out of hate, life out of death. For everything that happens, there's a resurrection. You want to say that with me? For everything that happens, there's a resurrection. Who cares about the reason? God can take it and give it life and love. Now, make no mistake about it, there are, as Paul refers to in the last verses of this part of the 8th chapter of Romans, plenty of powers and forces which are against us. Paul asks, if God is for us, who is against us? Well, I bet you can name some of the things, people, situations in your life that work against you. Heart disease was against my father, and his father before him, interestingly enough. How about your own health problems, or those of the people you love? Or how about your dysfunctional family, or bad habits, or people who work against you, or grief and loss, or money problems? You name it. Name it in your heart now. Maybe it's things that are happening in the country, in the world, that seem to work against you and people we love. Whatever it is that may be against us, if God is for us, it doesn't matter. Let's listen to these words of Romans again. Let them soak in. And if you kind of know them by heart, go ahead and mumble along if you want. If God is for us, who is against us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I am convinced, and here's the list from Romans, we can make our own. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was sure that the world had ended for me and my family August 2nd, 1969, when my dad died and all of us were left behind. And you know what? It was true. The world as I knew it ended. An anchor of love and goodness in my life was taken away forever, my earthly father. But my heavenly father never went anywhere. God was as close to me as my own breathing, nearer to me than my dad had ever been. I didn't always know or trust this. I went through months, even some years of grief-related things and anger and troubles resulting from my separation from my father at age 21. But God never left me. My father's death, or for that matter, any other struggle or pain or suffering I've experienced in my life, has never come close to taking God's love in Christ away from me. Never. As God's love stayed with me through the ups and downs of my young life, I discovered that the car not only drove to the house of grief, it also drove away from it. And through the help of many, many people who loved God and sat in the seat beside me on that journey, one of whom is sitting over there, my experience of God's love has grown deeper and stronger. Through the Holy Spirit, this reality of God's unending love blossomed into a vocation for me. A girl pastor, before there were very many of them, a vocation of proclaiming this same good resurrection news that's so wonderful to me to proclaim that to others, just as I'm doing today. So let's end this with a blessing. So now, may God grant us all the gifts of grace that make us more than conquerors through him who loves us. Let these gifts keep reassuring us that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let the people say, Amen.